If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here to talk about episode number 6 of The Amazing Race 33 back here on Rob Has a Podcast, and I'm excited to talk about this leg of The Amazing Race in Corsica with our Amazing Race team. First, let me welcome in the big cheese of Amazing Race coverage here on Rob's Podcast. It's Jessica Lees. Jess, how are you?
I don't know what that makes Mike if I'm the cheese. Anyway,
maybe the donkey.
All right. I'm glad you're going there and not to next week.
You know, they say podcasting is a lot like parfaits. Everyone loves a good parfait. It's a deep-seated reference for you Shrek fans out there. I don't know if the cookie jar is still in the background.
It is.
Well, listen, you can call me the donkey, but that's because I'm repping my alma mater here of Muhlenberg College. Because, look, when we're talking so much about mules in this episode, it's a fine opportunity to dust off this old chestnut and bring it out. Lots of mule content this week.
Okay, the chestnut was last week, Mike.
Yeah, the chestnut was last
week.
Yeah. I was so worried that Mike Bloom was going to come into this podcast and just do a victory lap and just rip his shirt off. Like, woo! Woo!
Frankly, Rob, I'm always concerned when Mike comes in wearing layers.
Now it's just cold. Now we're in like the weird wintry months where now it's just for my own body heat. But yeah, listen, I don't have
Mike
the
Bloom
body
like
to
onion.
Pull that off. Exactly. And I don't want Raquel and Kayla to mock me to that pit stop greeter. Okay. I see what they're capable of. I see them sharpening their knives against me for every outfit I provide or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So a lot to talk about. I thought this was very fun leg of the Amazing Race. So Akbar and Sherry, they are the last team to arrive. Arun and Natalia lived up to their promise. They would not be last on the mat again. And so it was Akbar and Sherry. They have been eliminated from the Amazing Race. Had the opportunity to speak with Akbar and Sherry. That exit interview is up in your podcast feed if you want to check that out. No Tar Pit this week. I think we've been on the every other schedule, on the every other week schedule for the Tar Pit. So maybe next week when we wrap up our leg here in Corsica. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. How's everybody doing this week? Good?
I mean, a little bit heavy-hearted, heavy-footed. At the loss of Akbar and Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, Jess, what boots are you wearing?
I have really, really big boots, okay, Mike? That's why I was late to the podcast.
Mm-hmm. You could take off the wetsuit, by the way. I know that I'm not doing the outfits, but you don't need to do them either.
Look, I know that's your thing, Mike. I was just worried I might get wet, and so I wanted to be prepared.
Okay.
Like you said, it's cold. It's winter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right. So, first leg of the Amazing Race here, where we're getting to see behind the scenes a little bit about the Amazing Race airplane. We'll see a little bit about that. But this was a night where really it was a profile in the team that is Ryan and Dusty. And Mike, what interesting cats that Ryan and Dusty are. And I use the animal term because they're going to drop a lot of animal allegory on us in this episode.
Yeah, real Kim Sprodlins, these two, specifically Dusty. Ryan definitely seems mild-mannered. Dusty is shot out of a cannon, and then that cannon shot out another cannon. Dusty was all over the place in this episode, and I loved it. You know, I think when it comes to reality television, we often like to see how people's personalities change, perhaps, when they're up against adversity. And I think we've seen a lot of goofy Dusty in these first couple legs, right, especially when they were doing well. But we saw an entirely new side of him, of course, like the incredibly sad news about his father passing away earlier that year. But then also like the incredibly mixed adrenaline fueled response to the entire back half of the leg. Obviously, the big to do coming into this episode, right, was will this be the end of Ryan and Dusty? frankly, I was very surprised they actually fell to last place. I think we all had said last week, this is a big nothing burger of a next time on. They're going to be fine. They ultimately finished fine. I was very surprised they touched last place for the first time in the entirety of the race. But we see what happens when their backs are against a corner. And instead of like, I don't know, clawing and scraping their way out of it, they're just like punching and kicking and screaming their heads off to get out of that corner.
Yeah. A little more so Dusty than Ryan. Ryan's is like, I've been through worse.
Yeah, you would think that that Ryan would be the more interesting of the pair because he's the one whose interesting backstory brought them to the attention of the Amazing Race. I feel like Dusty internalized that and he's like, I got to be bringing something to this team. And so what he has brought to this team is something that we have very rarely seen before on this program.
Yeah. Well, we open the episode with Ryan and Dusty celebrating in the last leg of the Amazing Race that they won the trip to visit Dominica. And they're very pumped up about this trip because it seems perfect for these two guys.
We're staying in a treehouse.
It's a treehouse.
Am I seeing this
own treehouse villa?
Well, a couple of monkeys like us deserve a treehouse to hang out in, my man.
They need to talk about that music.
It's a couple of monkeys like us. We just have a treehouse to hang out in, man.
Yeah, this might be my favorite blatant, like, they always have to peruse, right, the Travelocity thing in the next episode. Like, oh my God, look where they're going, where they're pointing at random pictures on the phone of like, I love this view. But these two seemed incredibly into the idea of living in a treehouse. Almost like oddly so. Like, this was a thing on their bucket list, live in a treehouse.
A couple of monkeys like us deserve a treehouse to hang out in, my man.
Yeah.
Hey, my man.
Yeah. I didn't realize that people sincerely use the term my man in the year 2022.
Or a couple of monkeys, hanging out with like a, hey, a couple of monkeys like us just hanging out in a treehouse, my man.
I have not referred to somebody as a monkey over the age of about 3. I feel like small children, you can get away with calling them a little monkey when they climb you, but
look, a couple of monkeys like us swinging from podcast microphone to podcast microphone.
Mixed messaging here. Are you a man or a monkey, Dusty? Make it clear.
He's some kind of hominid.
Yeah. Micromagnon. You want to be hanging out in trees?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A couple of monkeys like us deserve a treehouse to hang out in, my man.
Okay. All right. Instead of a treehouse to hang out in, how about, Jess, an Amazing Race private plane? A charter flight.
I was given to understand that the Amazing plane was much more branded than what we saw. Like, that just looked like a boring airplane. I was expecting like red and yellow stripes. Yeah, I want logos and stripes. I want this to be the NASCAR of Amazing Race planes. And it just looked like a plane.
Would you like to see the roaming gnome decal on the plane?
If Travelocity is going to pay for some of that, I'm happy to see the influx of cash to the Amazing Race. Sure. Put the roaming gnome out there. Like, it's been a minute since we've had anybody but the roaming gnome with the product placement, but like, get Ford back on board. You know, get 7-Up back
on
board.
Ford plane.
There you go.
Still tough.
I don't know if I trust a Ford plane personally. I mean, listen, get Exhibit on the line. This plane needs pimping immediately. It does. I think we need like Phil on the bow, like on a ship, like a wooden sculpture of him. I thought I was tickled by Phil being like, welcome, everybody, trying to be like the Ricardo Montalban of the Amazing Plane. Everybody, come on.
The plane, everybody. The plane. Yeah.
Just like, it was like, okay, Phil, you have to introduce the plane. And he clearly did not know how to do that. So he's like, all right, everybody, get on the plane. As you can see, it is the plane that we're getting on. Please come on board. And you see him like awkwardly sidestep shuffle as everyone filters on. It was
trying to go around him. Mm-hmm. It's a little awkward.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we get also, Jess, in this episode, the debut of the pit start.
Yeah, this was interesting because it's not much different from how we start every leg, but I do like the addition of, we're going to get on this plane and you don't know where you're going until you get there. Mm-hmm. This is kind of fun. We could keep doing this.
Yeah.
Like, in fact, I take it a step further. Don't tell anybody anything about where they're going. Like, make them figure it out when they get off the plane.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell them what city they're in, what country they're in. They get off. They have to figure it out for themselves. This is great.
Where are we?
Yeah. Where are we?
What
yeah.
city are we in?
Well, that's that. Well, that was like that show Lost, was it not? Mm-hmm. Where like they got dropped
Mike,
off in separate parts of the globe.
Yes, we know. Down the hatch is over. We got
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Exactly. Congratulations again.
Mike, are you and Thank Josh going to watch that version of Lost now?
Honestly, yeah. Give us like 2 years and it's probably going to happen. We're going to be running out of ideas. We're like, let's watch shows that contain the words L-O-S-N-T in them. That's the next iteration of Down the Hatch.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that was the iteration of that show on NBC, right? That was like alarmingly amazing race-like where they got dropped off in separate corners and had to like make their way to a central location with basically no money and no information. And it also calls back to the days where they would start at the pit stop and they just be given lag. Fly to this country. Luckily, nobody ever made the mistake of going to the wrong country. Mm-hmm. But I always thought that was fun to, again, suggest the ideas, let the players meet you halfway when it comes to the clue.
All right. Our first teams to depart from the pit start are going to be the aforementioned Ryan and Dusty and Lulu and Lala. And again, Dusty is fired up in this episode and compares himself to another animal.
What those birds don't know is I'm a sneaky little tomcat. I'm going to climb up in there and eat all their little eggs and them.
What?
I don't know many tomcats that eat eggs. Like if he was a mongoose, I could see that.
Be that sneaky little mongoose,
I'm
my man.
Sneaky little mongoose, man.
A couple monkeys I'm like that, my man goose.
Why am I giving Dusty lessons on how to be weirder? I think he's got it covered.
Would that be more weird or less weird to call himself a mongoose?
I think it'd be more weird, but it'd be more accurate.
Dusty is definitively a dog person, right? Between like his lack of information about what cats eat and also the fact of just his personality is very
also,
dog energy.
I think he has a dog name also.
That's true. Could he be a dog? Could this be a 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd situation where like he got transformed from a dog into a man?
That's a deep pull, Mike.
What if they are best friends? What if Dusty was Ryan's dog?
Oh, he's man's best friend.
And in the 10 years in jail, he got transformed into a person and is now running around the world with him.
The loyalest friend there is. Yeah.
And so imagine and that's why after it gets to the pit stop, right? He's like,
Rob, do you remember that show we watched like 2 summers ago with the people and their dogs racing around the world?
Yes.
Did Ryan and Dusty try out for that and then get cast on The Amazing Race?
Yeah. They said, oh, Ryan, we love you and your dog Dusty so much. Is there any that we have some experimental technology? We'd like to change your dog Dusty into a man. Like, okay, sure.
And maybe they stopped in a few like animal places along the way, right? Like he was a monkey at one point, then he was a cat, and now he's a dog, and that's why it's all jumbled up in his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, no, you're not a monkey, you're a dog man.
Yeah, but then why is he calling himself a cat?
What those birds don't know is I'm a sneaky little tomcat, and I'm gonna climb up in there and eat all their little eggs and them.
Yeah.
No, a dog would not know what a cat eats, so I think he's trying to like really play. Oh, yes, all humans know the cat diet of eggs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So and then we have our second group, which is the Holderness family: Akbar and Sherry, and Raquel and Kayla, and they are off to go find Belvedere Mountain.
Mr. Belvedere's Mountain.
Mr. Belvedere's Mountain. He was British.
I call it Brocktoon. Because I'm familiar with it.
Yes. Okay. What? Why do you call it Brocktoon?
That was a deep pull for the classic Saturday Night Live fans.
Oh, okay. Jess. So we see that Kim Holderness changing up her. She mentions a couple times in this episode. This is a new Kim in this episode. She's changing her personality. I didn't really know where this was coming from. Was the last leg? Did things especially go sideways for the Holderness family?
I mean, you can blame the editors for not telling that particular story. I think she had a very rough leg last week, as she outlined on their podcast, where she was just so full of adrenaline after completing that jump that she was very anxious throughout the whole rest of the leg. And she said she really had a mini breakdown in the hotel after the leg. So I think the show did not really show any of that. But in her head, that's like, that is what is going on the Kim show. And she's going to try to turn it around.
Yeah.
I think if she kept going the way she was going, they would have had no choice but to show it.
Yeah. Well, that's great background, because I'm like, I don't understand what, like, Kim, you're fine.
Yeah, we wouldn't have known that if it wasn't for their podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I just love, Kim is so deadpan. Like, I know Penn, I think, is one of the bigger goofs of the two, but Kim can be very funny herself. So I just love her looking to the camera, this placid Stepford Wives smile on her face, being like, I have fundamentally changed my personality for this leg of the race. And then that's when we found out more about new Kim, but like, hell of an entrance line for this episode.
Mm-hmm. She's even dressed differently. Did you notice this? Like, they've got their like light blue outfits, but she's got like this matching light blue buff/scarf, and it's a very put together look.
Yeah,
like I would definitely buff this look. We're not snuffing it.
No snuff. Okay, so all right, Akbar and Sherry, they're going to be more in one on this leg in the race, and in you know, credit to Akbar and Sherry, like they didn't fight. They go home in this leg of the race, but there's almost like no disagreements. Like there's no daylight between Akbar and Sherry in this episode.
There is one moment though, which is, I think this is a really fun edited episode in particular, but I love Akbar saying, you know, for me, the game plan is, and Sherry interrupts, for us. And so even yeah. then, like that was the smidge of what we got, but it's so fantastically, like you can't write that, right? Yeah. The irony of saying, for me, the plan is to be as one, only for Sherry to interrupt and say, well, it's for us, not for you.
Yeah. And we'll follow the story of Akbar and Sherry throughout the whole episode, but just that just overall, just the completion of their story where they end up losing on this leg of the race, but it really had nothing to do with, this was Sherry's best leg of the amazing race, where Akbar was very critical of her throughout the entire race of how she wasn't pushing herself, and then for them to lose on, you know, Akbar, you know, not being able to complete the, you know, the roadblock that he had to do after he had so much feedback for Sherry, that I think that Sherry walks away from this race like a little bit like, hey, we lost, but you know, wasn't me.
And it's a really interesting duality too, because we got to hear from Akbar about Sherry's performance on the roadblocks that she did. Mm-hmm. But then on his roadblock, we hear a voiceover from Sherry that's saying, I'm not going to be the one to tell him about his performance on this leg. And mm-hmm. I think that says an awful lot about their dynamic.
Yeah, there was like a piece I felt like, Mike, where Sherry is walking away from this like, well, I'm never going to have to hear about how I did on the roadblocks ever again.
Yeah, this is one of the most poetic finishes I think I've seen in reality TV in a while. It's shades of like throughout the duration of Survivor Africa, Lex Vandenberg being like, I trust my gut. My gut knows everything. And then he ends up going out due to his gut because he had dysentery and he lost the final immunity challenge. Like, mm-hmm. again, you could not write this better, that the entire story of Akbar and Sherry was Akbar, someone say, unfairly criticizing Sherry's performances and slowing things down, especially in roadblocks. And how did they end up losing? Because Akbar slows down in the roadblock to the point where he gets passed by several people.
Mm-hmm.
Again, with like no huge amount of shade to Akbar, it did seem like a tough roadblock, especially for someone of his size. But like just from a pure storytelling perspective, beautifully, beautifully scripted.
Okay. Let's talk about our detour. Say cheese or mule, please. First, I would like to ask you both a question. I feel like this is something that I don't know if we've ever talked about. Do you prefer a leg that starts with the detour, or do you prefer a leg that starts with the roadblock?
Well, I would say, Rob, I want a little bit of both in my life. I don't want it to be formulaic. I don't think I prefer one over the other as long as I've got both in my life. I don't want them all to start with the roadblock, and I don't want them all to start with the detour. And I like it the best when the first thing we do is neither one of those things. Like, give them an extra task in there to warm them up before we go into the meat of the episode.
Mm. Mike, do you have a preference?
It's tough because the key thing with the roadblock, right, is the individual assignment of blame, in a manner of speaking, right? So someone could really, you know, float or sink it for their team, essentially, by how they perform in the roadblock. And so the question is, do you want that to be the climactic way you end the leg, or do you want it to begin the leg and then, you know, give that time for things to stew. I think I'll go with the latter. I'm so sorry. I love that verb now. You put it in my head. I think I like on paper, I think I like the roadblock first, because I think then even if teams fall behind, it still does give the chance for a detour for things to get a bit mm-hmm. more jumbled up and evened out, because of the usual choice of tasks can usually delineate the better one, the one good choice, one bad choice in terms of time alignment. Whereas if you end with the roadblock, then it gets a bit more straightforward. There might be an opportunity for teams to pass one another depending on individual performances, but I feel like you get more variance in a detour than a roadblock usually.
Yeah.
I would say you bringing all this stuff up, Mike, it makes me think that from a narrative standpoint, it probably makes more sense to have the roadblock second, because you bring together the disparate threads. Like if you have the detour right before the pit stop, everybody is in a different place and they're in a different spot. And whereas if you put them all back together at the roadblock, it's easier to line them up. Mm-hmm. Like that, you don't have one person that's off like making cheese and another person that is off, you know, leading the mules around, and you have to figure out how to bring them back together. I think it's nice if everybody's journey kind of ends on the same beat.
I think it depends what you're looking for. If you want a better sense of what actually happened, then I think that the detour first and then the roadblock will give you a better sense of mm-hmm. I think we got a good sense of where everybody was, and there was no surprises. Yeah. If you want to sort of be more on the edge of your seat, I think you want the roadblock first and the detour, where it's Arun and Natalia are doing this thing, but Akbar and Sherry are doing this thing, and then they're both headed to the pit stop, and who knows what, where they actually are. So you end up maybe having a little bit more of a sense of surprise, but maybe not the better sense of how things actually were.
And it's easier to edit whatever story you want that way too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We talk all the time, right, about the duplicitous editing of these two teams are close when they really weren't close at all. I think with a detour, when you're splitting up two teams on the bottom, if they're doing different things, you could very easily cut it together to make it look like a team is doing better or worse than they actually are.
Like they did this week.
Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So the detour itself, let's dig in a little bit on Say Cheese or Mule Please. Jess, I believe one of the steadfast rules that we've talked about over the years is try to avoid a task that has an animal.
It's really funny, Rob, because I feel like since we started saying that is a hard and fast rule, Amazing Race has gotten tricksy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I think you look at these two tasks on their face and you're like, we want nothing to do with mules. Mules are stubborn. We already know that is it's in the ether. We already know what mules are like. We don't want to work with a mule. When it turns out that the actual task had very little to do with the mule itself and a lot more to do with the detail orientedness of it. And I think that maybe the old wisdom of working with animals, they know that everybody knows that. And so they will make those animal tasks a little bit more varied according to what they think people are going to gravitate towards. And then you have people that are saying, I don't want anything to do with the mule because that's going to hold me up and I'm going to be the laughing stock of the episode. So I'm going to go do this stupid cheese thing. When it turns out, if you'd done the mules, you would have been done much faster.
Yeah.
It's a trick. It's the old switcheroo.
Yeah.
Yeah. First off, Stupid Cheese Things is my subtitle. So thank you for bringing that up, Jess. Really appreciate my aesthetic.
It stands to crunchy mouth sounds.
Exactly. I really like this because, like you said, it's this idea of The Amazing Race is now 33 seasons in the tooth. How do you not necessarily trick, but how do you keep the most entrenched super fans on their toes? Right. Maybe it's things like doing the roadblock as soon as you do the pit start and then having that 2.5 hour drive that we saw last week. And maybe it is, like you said, the old bait and switch of here's something that nobody goes for, but it's actually the more lucrative task. The road less traveled is actually the better one. I think what really helped this, because I would have done the exact same thing that, you know, Kim and Penn did, and as well as Raquel, or as well as, you know, Rick and Kayla at first, of like, oh, hell no, we're not dealing with donkeys. I mean, we saw the first episode of Amazing Race season 12, like, animals are unruly. The main thing that I think really helped this task was the fact that did they walk even like the length of a football field with that donkey? The two locations were so close. And from what it seemed like, they just had to deliver the mule from that station to where the chief station was. And it seemed basically within spitting distance of each other. So like, you're not walking it around the mountain and back. You're taking it on like a little ride around the town, essentially. And
mule
so
ride.
I think, yeah, exactly. So I think the significant shortening of the distance to do anything really helped, because I'm imagining the mule goes a certain amount of time before it really does start to get stereotypically stubborn. But that window doesn't really exist if you're only going a short distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Jess, should the rule that we advise future Amazing Race teams now be choose whatever task sounds the hardest?
Honestly,
it's the switcheroo.
I don't think they're going to switcheroo everybody every week. This is one of those Vizzini who switched the poisons kind of situations. Like, maybe they both have iocane powder in them. You don't know. But I think you just have to look at them. And I think about what's going to play to your strengths. Like, if you know that you don't have the patience to sit there and wait for cheese to get hot, then go straight to the mules. And in a case like this one, like, this isn't going to work with every detour, but in a case like this one, they're literally around the corner from each other. So if you don't like one, go do the other one. That's why it was okay for Dusty and Ryan this week, even though we can laugh a lot at Dusty's, like, now every time he does something for 10 seconds and it's not easy, he starts freaking out about switching. That's I hope that's a through line.
Dog-like compulsion, right? Like, it's the very much squirrel motif of something is distracting me. Got to go for that shiny thing.
But I want to go out. I want to come in. I want to go out.
What was interesting, though, this detour of, okay, say cheese or mule, please. Dusty is shot out of the cannon. Cheese! I know how to make cheese! I made cheese! I know how to make cheese! Look, we got to do is make cheese, because that's my thing. I'm a cheesemaker. I know how to do this, to the point he's so excited. This is what he says when he gets to the detour.
It's a milky, milky time to make some cheese.
Milky, milky, time to make some cheese.
The Swedish chef is alive and well right now.
Even though we're in Corsica.
The only thing I can think of is they retroactively got angry at us making fun of them and calling them Hans and Franz last week. So they decided to just be weird so that we can't go back to that well.
Oh, I think we might later.
Is that the Corsican national anthem? Maybe he's just honoring the residents.
It's a milky, milky time to make some cheese.
I hear barking in the background.
Oh, I hear barking.
Milky, milky, time to make some cheese. Okay.
I mean, is he beckoning the milk forward? Like, please. You know what? Maybe he should have sang to the milk more. Maybe it would have heated up faster. Can we also talk about the naming for a second? I feel like this is a segment we do every week, but it begs to be talked about. Say cheese.
Got it. Makes sense.
Versus mule, please.
Mule, please.
Which might be one of my favorite, like, strained, shoehorned in roadblock titles. Mule, please sounds like a line that, like, a cow played by Wesley Snipes plays in a 2001 Disney film on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mule, please come on over here and help milk me.
Mm-hmm.
That's from an era gone by. I don't think everyone has ever said blank please in the past 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But it fits with getting Exhibit to come up and pimp out the plane.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Then to the Amazing Race producers that are listening, like, all right, well, what's better than mule please?
I feel like maybe you could play with cheesemonger somehow.
The cheesemonger? Mm.
Yeah, there's a cheese. You could say cheesemonger, or
cheese curd or donkey turd.
No.
That's so easy.
I'm struggling, but I know it's there. It's there. I'm just not reaching it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Much like the temperature of the vat of cheese. I'm not quite there.
Fromage or dressage?
Ooh, there it is, Mike. Mm-hmm. There it is.
I mean, they're not the mules aren't dancing, but I do.
They're not horses, contrary to what Penn kept saying.
Yes, exactly. I should also note, as someone who did go to Muhlenberg College, my friends and I often didn't greet each other by high-fiving each other along the walk and saying, "Mule, please, how's it going today?" So, honestly, I think they just stole from our alma mater song.
Okay.
That's in your song, Mike?
Yes, it's followed up by, "Milky, milky, let's make some cheese."
What's in the water in Pennsylvania, Mike?
Lots of cheese curds.
Add some milky, milky, time to make some cheese.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the actual tasks here. So the milk task did seem like it was a bit tedious, that you needed to, you know, get it to a certain temperature, and then you're straining and you're stirring. There's a lot going on here.
I don't know. It was patience. It was just like, look at the thermometer and sit around and be patient. And then once you got it going, it didn't seem like it was that hard.
Yeah,
I mean, the real secret here, the reason why Dusty and Ryan end up falling into last place is because old dog boy over there keeps insisting to turn the Bunsen burners on and off. And so it just like really fluctuates with the temperature, as opposed to everyone else is just sitting there like, nope, we are. We're just going to sit and wait. So I think it was the more tedious but straightforward option on paper.
Okay.
And that turns out to be the slower one, just because, again, the distance that they went with the mules was so fast.
So Lulu and Lala are there. Eventually, Akbar and Sherry are going to get there. Arun and Natalia are going to go there. But we see that the Holderness family, they're going to switch things up pretty late in the game. They get Raquel and Kayla, who seem to like to work with another team whenever they can. They end up going with the Holderness family. They don't want to be too far away from the pack. They say that, you know, four heads are better than two in terms of working on this, working on a task. Jess, sound strategy?
I think it's a fair thing to do, especially at this point in the race. You don't want to go off on your own little thing and then have everybody else pass you. So if you can see another team, you know at least where you stand partially.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it turns out it pays dividends for Raquel and Kayla later on in the episode, as we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
At this point, it's like you're early in the leg. It doesn't hurt you to work with another team at this point. And it makes sure that there's always, like, if you are way behind the pack, you're dragging someone down with you. Mm-hmm. But you also get the benefit of, if you can work together and get it done faster, it pushes you out in front.
Yep.
It's sound strategy.
Yeah. Four heads are better than two, especially when dealing with asses.
Raquel and Kayla were very excited, Mike, to work with the mules. Mules and donkeys, are they the same thing? They're different, right?
No, they're different.
Yeah, yes. Mule is a crossbreed between a donkey and a horse. Mm-hmm. Again, as someone whose mascot was the mule, I've become very entrenched in muleology.
Yeah. Also, she hopes that her mule isn't a jackass.
Yeah.
Which is a different thing also, right?
Yeah, jackass is another term for donkey, and a feature film that's coming out very soon, mm-hmm. I believe. Mm-hmm. Should have been some CBS Viacom synergy there.
We'll be waiting for the post-show recap, Mike.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of me sliding down the stairs while holding a microphone. I guess that's not a jackass stunt. That's like something Dennis the Menace does. What am I talking about?
You got to be shot out of a cannon for that.
Exactly. So can we talk about the mule names for a second? Because this is, I always love it working with animals, when amazing racers name their animals.
Yeah. Okay. So here's a clip of Raquel and Kayla have come up with a name for their mule.
Raquel doesn't like this, but I'm naming the mule after our boyfriends, Colt and Tony. Colt Tony.
Colt Tony. The mule please of mule names.
All right.
I love it. It's like an irregular shaped pasta you find in the very back of the shelf. Yep. Colt Tony.
Like, in my mind, that Colt Tony is some sort of like survivor ship name for Colby and Tony.
Yeah, I mean, listen, a lot of people wanted that to happen.
Every day, every morning, I wake up, I thank God I'm alive, and I thank God I'm a Texan.
Yeah, this is huge. I needed this.
Come on.
That's a Hershey bar. Reed.
Come on.
Wow. I got my bag of tricks right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cole Tony.
The moment comes along and Michelle must act. It's a very good moment.
Maybe pretty I'll try sure there are 9 days.
Pretty sure there are 9 days in a week there, Jeremy. La 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 la. Milky, milky. Let's get mix some cheese.
Look, Jerry, I ain't no Hershey bar.
This is
Call Tony.
You guys, I think I'm gonna go take a break, me to get a drink, and I want you guys to get it all out of your system. And then when I come back, we'll be ready to move on and stop talking about these weird Survivor portmanteaus.
Top five, baby, top five.
Okay.
You know, we got to leave something. We got to leave room for some other podcast on the week's best of RHAP.
All right. Fair enough. Cole Tony. There you go. So it seems like, Jess, that this challenge is just about like putting the saddle on the mule.
Pretty much. And there were lots of little like buckles and harnesses and things. And you had to get that exactly right. And then you had to put the milk canisters on the mule and walk him over. And it was more like, look at the model mule and then make your mule look like that mule. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as like when they had to do the trucks in Colombia and they had to decorate it exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a living truck.
Yeah, living truck. That's what they call the mule. You know, it's known as the living truck.
The living truck. The thing, though, that was odd to me was Phil seemed to make a big deal, right? If they have to make sure they get there without spilling a drop, like it's that that sommelier task, Jess, from The Mole season 2. But like, oh, yeah. Nothing to do with that whatsoever.
It had a lid on it.
Yeah.
Not going to spill.
Yeah, unless you got a crowbar and we're trying to pry it open. I think it's going to be pretty safe. Yeah. So the teams had varying degrees of success with working on making the cheese. Lulu and Lala, who we saw ace the sausage task last week, but also we learned about some of the difficulties they've had in the kitchen before with knives, seemed to struggle with another kitchen instrument.
Do you know how to use a thermometer?
Yeah. Do you know how to use a thermometer? Lulu and Lala want to know.
So I know that there's a lot of debate nowadays about, like, can the children of our society be able to read analog clocks because of the advent of digital technology? Is the thermometer the same way that, like, the actual mercury in a thermometer that's out now that nobody is able to read thermometers?
Thermometer.
Yeah, with like the little red light liquid rising.
Well, I mean, on British Bake Off, they have the digital ones now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like, I don't know, maybe that's gone. Maybe that's a thing of the past now.
Yeah.
Yeah, put it right there on the shelf with writing in cursive.
Yeah.
And physical media.
So
only 90s kids would remember this when you stuck the thermometer in when you're making cheese.
So for Akbar and Sherry, that they are getting very confident because first off, they are Akbar and Sherry Cook. So let them cook.
That's too many cooks.
And Akbar, very, you know, very proudly says, look, I know anything that's cooking. Sherry has got this. This is her challenge. And I go back to last week. And when the challenge was bartender race or sausage case, they chose bartender race.
They learned this time around, at least, right? Like maybe once they heard what the others were saying, like, oh, we should have taken that one. Yeah. So now they're finally
like anything cooking. This is Sherry's wheelhouse.
This is like, it's like Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. Like every time he fails at something, like the next thing he comes to is like, this is what Tiggers do best.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is about this, I don't know. I wouldn't even call this cooking. This is milk boiling. This is not cooking.
How do you draw the line, Mike? What counts as cooking and what counts as not cooking? Because this is a pot of edible stuff over a flame. I think that's cooking.
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, maybe the finesse and like the addition of ingredients. Because again, like there didn't seem to be that much temperature control either, especially for people who didn't know how to use a thermometer. It was just wait a little while for the milk to boil,
yeah,
then pour in more milk, and that's it.
Maybe the problem was for Ryan and Dusty was that they watched the milk, which, of course, we all know that a pot of watched milk will not boil.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think you want it to boil.
Mm.
Because I don't know if either of you have ever tried to cook with milk. If you get it really hot, really fast, it is not a good scene.
Mm.
So I think they were really focused on the idea that you can't get it over that temperature or it will you know, that you will have a lot of, you'll have nothing you want.
It's a Milky Milky time to make some cheese. Yeah.
And if you look at the Milky Milky, there is no cheese. I was trying to figure it out. Was it, so 85 degrees, I think, was like what the upper limit was. Was that Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Celsius.
Celsius. Yeah. Yeah.
So you want it. That's close to boiling.
If you get it over 100, it's going to explode.
85 degrees Fahrenheit, I think it's just like you drink that and then take a nap, I think. Like serve to your children before bedtime at 85 degrees Fahrenheit.
There you go, big cheese. I got you a glass of warm milk.
Here you go. Yeah. Okay. So Ryan and Dusty are struggling, Jess. And Dusty is like seeing teams come back, holding his family, Raquel and Kayla, whizzing past them. Hey, we got to move. We got to switch. We got to switch tasks. Get out of here.
I hope this becomes a thing every week. I want it to happen every week, because if this was the recurring plot line of Ryan and Dusty for the whole season, I take back everything I said about their archetype, because it would be fabulous. I loved watching this 2 weeks in a row. Like, it's like, you know, the comedic beat came around again.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
And but honestly, like in the moment, it would be worth thinking about, because again, the mules are right around the corner. You don't lose a ton of time, and you don't want to invest a whole bunch of time on something that you don't understand.
Yeah.
Even if objectively you should have been able to understand it, because it's not that complicated. Like in the moment you don't, there's nothing you can do about that.
And Jess, did it turn out to be a five-hole task for Arun, who works in the restaurant industry?
I need to know more about what he does for a living before I can rule a five-hole.
Yeah, if Arun is a cheesemonger, then yes, absolutely. But, like, I don't think he's cooking back there either. I mean, I would argue it's more of a five-hole for Sherry than it would be for Arun, considering that, like, isn't Sherry's big thing that, like, she cooks the food for everybody? And Akbar's talking about making the roux for the macaroni and cheese. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, the attitude that Ryan and Dusty had, particularly Dusty, was much like their application of heat to the milk. It was constantly on and off. We should do it. We shouldn't do it. We shouldn't do it. We should do it. And to Jess's point, I love that this is an echo of the flag stuff that happened. In that case, they stuck with it. This time they switched. So, you know, you always learn from your mistakes. I wonder what they're going to take away from this. Like, I know they're really focused on the triumph of them going from sixth to third in the second half of the league, but I do wonder if they're going to now approach detours a little bit differently, of like thinking things through or really trying to puzzle out, like, okay, if we see something and we get an immediate sense that it's not going to go our way, then we should switch, rather than just like really miring in it, waiting for something to boil.
Okay. Well, Lulu and Lala are through. We mentioned that the Holderness family, Raquel and Kayla, they got through with the mule task. Now, Akbar and Sherry have completed their task. And even Arun and Natalia have completed the task. And Ryan and Dusty are left with the realization that they are in last place. And at this point, they decide, we're going to switch. Let's do it.
And to add insult to injury, their Technicolor Jeep does not go up the hill, and they have to push it up.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, push the Jeep up the hill. Okay? Looking not so good for Ryan and Dusty.
Yeah, they were in last place for about 5 entire minutes there, and it was a scary time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, on the show, and it was probably longer in real life.
It might have been 6 minutes in real life.
Could have been, you know, maybe even 7, you know? Because it's looking dire. Okay.
7 minutes, not in heaven.
Okay.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So we get to the roadblock. Who wants to make a splash? All right. Who wants to make a splash?
This looks so fun.
It looks so fun. Yeah.
It looks very fun. But just in terms of leg design, how did you think about this as a roadblock?
Well, the first time I saw it, I thought, oh, do you have to be like clipped into this thing so you definitely can't pass anybody?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out you only have to be clipped in on like certain parts of it, which everybody was passing everybody, which if this had been one of those things where nobody could pass anybody, this would have sucked. I would have come in here hot. I would have been yelling. I would have like threatened boiling. To quit the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
80 degrees Celsius, at least.
I'd be 100 degrees Celsius Curdled. And I'd be exploding all over the place. But honestly, milky, if you can pass people, if you can pass people, it's not a bad task.
Yeah,
it's fine. And it looked like, I don't think there was any real skill involved. They were saying, oh, you have to find the clue. But it looked like on one of the, like, when you got
kinda
to that
hit you in the face, right? Yeah,
it was, yeah. It was going to be hard not to find the clue at that point. It's just like, whap. Okay. Hit me in the face.
And if you're Akbar, if you like go down the slide without it, you just like reach up on your tiptoes and grab it and then go back. Like, no harm, no foul. Obviously, the big drama would have been if someone missed it and they have to go back up to the top and do it again. But I think it was more so about like the majesty of the course itself, which was a lot of fun. Just we have done this before. I know probably not in Corsica, but we've done this before, have we not?
Shout out to the great Corey Cool, who reminded us that this was done in Switzerland in season 31, episode 7. He had that right off the top of his head because he himself did it. And he said it is as fun as it looks.
Yeah. Looked like a fun time to go through all of this. There's a moment where, okay, so we see that the people that are hanging out, we have Lala and Kim, and it's Kayla.
Kayla.
And they're hanging out and talking about the guys of the hour, Ryan and Dusty. They're in last place. Everybody's feeling good. Some excitement.
I don't know. I can feel I see how they feel in that moment. Mm-hmm. It's like these guys were ahead of everybody all the time. And I like the thought that, you know, we can't beat them. They're going to have to beat themselves.
Yeah.
Which it seems like, I think that's true of everybody that you cast for this show. There's going to be that one task that's going to kill them. In this case, it didn't turn out that was that task this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about The Amazing Race in general is, unlike a show like Survivor or Big Brother, you are not like actively eliminating people from the show. There are things like U-turns, but other than that, people go out because of their own performances, not because of yours. And so I think, you know, it creates more friendly rivalries than it does actual rivalries. And so I didn't really make anything. It didn't feel, you know, like in Brenchel's two seasons, right, when there was just so much vitriol in their direction. I don't think anyone hates Ryan and Dusty. I think it was just a lot of like, oh, they're in the lead. This is fun that we get to do this. Even Ryan and Dusty themselves are like, oh, Raquel and Kayla passed us for the first time ever on the race. So I feel like last week there was a secret scene where I think Raquel and Kayla had been saying they're like, particularly Dusty was getting a big head of himself of like, okay, we're the ones that we can beat. And I feel like we were seeing some glimpses of that even in their dire moments, they're like, I can't believe this. Nobody ever beat us at anything. Now they're beating us.
Yeah. I think they'd be Rusty, right?
Huh. That's a good portmanteau name, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah. Put that together.
And if we were still writing recaps, we'd probably call them that.
Yeah. they were a little rusty this week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that long hiatus, the hiatus was, you know, they weren't in necessarily in peak condition to come back, even though they did win the first place last week.
I don't know. A little milk in the joints.
Yeah.
Did you see those hot bods? I disagree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But they did cramp up also. So maybe they are a little rusty. Okay. So we get where it's Raquel and Lulu who are going through the race together. And, you know, we talked about this. They were working together and they were women supporting women. Everything was going good up until the point where Raquel got the clue and left Lulu in the dust.
This is a whole lot of a nothing burger. This is like
with extra cheese.
It's extra curds.
Time to make the cheese.
Because there's a few things at play here. You know, thing number one, working together is a totally great thing to do at the point in the race when there's nothing to lose with it. And this is a race, and she had every right to try to get further in the race. You can't wait around. Like, helping other people is great up to a point where it's detrimental to your own race to stick around and help somebody. And also, this wasn't necessarily detrimental to Lulu and Lala's race because they have other people behind them. Mm-hmm. They're not condemning them to a horrible fate here.
Yeah. Well, Lulu was a little hot.
And I was like, bitch!
Yeah.
That was totally facetious B word. She's not really
facetious?
Angry.
Okay.
It was a facetious.
See, that's what you add please after, not mule please. You need bitch. Right. This is like that Key and Peele sketch.
It is. It is very much like that.
Okay. So, meanwhile, okay. Akbar is going to take on this task for his team. He is going to head into the roadblock, and he gets in around the same time as Arun. Basically, they're sort of paired up, even though technically he's ahead of Arun going into the Who Wants to Make a Splash roadblock.
Yep, and the heavy boot gets to be on the other foot here as Akbar experiences his own slowdowns. It's interesting. You know, I'm sure everyone was feeling it with the wetsuits. I do wonder if because of Akbar's size, like he was just feeling it extra hard on top of being winded behind it. He seemed to be the only one, interestingly, that was really talking about just like how tough it was to do, while everyone else seemed to be fine. The only other like non-happy emotions people had was Lulu's bitch moment.
And the water was cold.
But that was about it. George Costanza would not be happy mm-hmm. at the end of this roadblock.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was in the river!
Okay. So, we see that Ryan finally gets here to the race. Okay? And we see that everybody is not super happy to see Ryan and Dusty show up. They're finally here.
I mean, they had to get there sometime. They were only in last place for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here we go. And is this when on the way to the race, do we get the when Dusty talks about his dad?
Is this so on the way to the kayaks?
Okay,
on the way to
the kayaks. Okay. I want to come back to that because
Ryan's about to go the flash here and just speed past a third of the group,
which was amazing because it was a graphic on the screen. Okay, and the graphic was like, I think we had a little dot for Arun and a little dot for Akbar, and then the dot that was for Ryan was moving at light speed around the course.
That may have been slightly exaggerated for dramatic effect.
No, I want Ryan to go full Jesse Owens on these rocks and just like parkour, like springing off, swimming through, darting around to catch up.
Yeah, it was wild. It's just like the Ryan. I mean, go back and watch that. That Ryan dot must have been moving at about 700 miles an hour through the course.
Do you think they got a penalty for speeding? Of like, Ryan, you did break the sound barrier when you sped through the course, so mm-hmm. we're going to have to assign you a 30-minute penalty.
Yes.
So if he crashes into the rock, does he drop all the rings he picked up?
Yeah.
Everybody super Ryan racing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, meanwhile, we have a kayak part of this task, okay? Kim and Penn are the first to arrive at the kayak, and Mike... that they get to the kayak and it's time to pump it up.
Exactly. So I love non-detour and roadblock tasks, especially ones right before the pit
Hard
stop.
Same.
These can be oftentimes the great equalizer, whether it's seemingly small, minute things like take a water slide or other things like paddle a circular boat to the pit stop, like we saw in the first episode of season 17. It's just another way to jumble the teams up, and it has great effect, as we saw in the final part here. So I really enjoyed a lot of it. It was clearly like heavily monitored. Like I saw someone in the water. You know, they had to get the boats checked out before they took them to the water. They couldn't be paddling on like an inflatable pool toy that was slowly sticking into the water, like Mogo Mogo's boat mm-hmm. With Cold Tony on it and everything. But you just really enjoyed the opportunity to like throw something extra in there, something you need to do to get to the pit stop besides just getting there and walking up to it and smiling at Phil. I always really enjoy it. And I think the kayaks provided a lot of entertainment as people were freaking out about their experience or lack thereof.
Jess, I will say, though, I did think that the inflatable kayak did reek a little bit of like, hey, just go pick up some kayaks at Target. And then we'll save some money on the budget.
Yeah, some of these tasks, like this was not the cheapest inflatable thing they've ever had on this show. Mm-hmm. and they didn't have to shave it. So we're happy.
Okay.
But it, yeah, it didn't seem particularly Corsican, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
The Corsicans are noted for their inflatable kayaks.
Okay. So they're working on that. There was also a part where you had to leave your backpacks in the van because you didn't want to get them wet.
The van down by the river?
Yeah, the van down by the Corsican River. Lulu and Lala missed that. And just they beat themselves up and they say that the clue literally said to leave the bags in the car. But I feel like that the word literally might be vestigial here in the sentence, considering that the clue is always literally going to tell you exactly what you need to do.
That's a fair point, Rob.
Yeah.
But so many people still feel like it's a, a figurative suggestion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a weird step, though, because it goes against Amazing Race conventions that usually you're advised to take your packs with you, and especially the fanny packs, right? That's where the passports are. That's where your money is. Speaking of money, did you notice they actually got money for this leg?
€10. And that it was, right?
What are they going to spend? Is that what they used to buy the kayak?
I think that was maybe a parking meter or somewhere situation.
Stop at Corsican Target and pick up your kayak.
Yeah, or pay your driver. I'm not sure why they got €10. It's like their parents being like, all right, go buy some gumballs with these €10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So we're seeing the teams having a little bit of struggling with steering the kayak, but ultimately it doesn't seem to be too much of an event. For Akbar, though, that he ends up getting past first by Arun, but then the big one is he gets passed by Ryan.
I feel like Ryan did the course about 4 more times and just lapped him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looked like from the map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seriously. I just imagine an Akbar was just making his way through. And then you're like on your left. And then Ryan just jumps through and passes him completely. It's got to be demoralizing, right? Yeah. To be like, oh, we were set on this one strong team behind us. And I just have to keep it slow and steady. That's what they said this entire time. Slow and steady. And here comes the hare. And the hare won the race in this particular instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Sherry does get to have the moment of she sees Arun come through. I'm like, okay. And then she sees Ryan come through and I guess it's not as easy.
Yeah, I mean, they're making it look easy, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ryan does make it look pretty easy. So we get to see finally, Akbar, it takes him a while. He does come through. Meanwhile, back at the mat, Kim and Penn, they are team number one. $5,000 each.
Some vacation money.
Yeah.
Phil specifically says, you can go anywhere but Cape Cod this time.
So the new Kim, Jess, seemed to work out in this leg of the race.
Yeah, new Kim did a great job.
We very chill on the block.
Yeah. So we'll take her word for it. I mean, seemed like the same great Kim to me, but new Kim.
Yep. Whatever she did, it was working. She should keep doing it.
Keep it up.
And I do think if we are in a scenario where Ryan and Dusty end up, beating themselves up out of the race, I think we now clearly have a very good number two competitor. Yeah. In the form of Kim and Penn. Again, they had their own struggles with the mail rail task, but outside of that, they have not finished. What was their lowest finish besides that? It was they went fourth and fifth and then first, second, third, and first. So they have been doing incredibly consistently well once they left the UK. And I think they are in a good position to possibly win if there's another Ryan Dusty self-destruct coming along.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to feel like that. And I wonder if maybe the edit is really pointing us in that direction of the, Ryan and Dusty seem like the favorites, but they're having some meltdowns along the way. But for Kim and Penn, they are team number one. Jess, I feel like that the greeter got a little bit of a short shrift here in this episode.
You could have told me there was no greeter.
Yeah.
And I would have believed you.
At the very end, he got it a little bit with Akbar and Sherry.
Well, no, he also got, though, he was in on the joke with Raquel and Kayla, right? We'll get to that. But, like, there's a very noted look that he gives them. I'm like, yeah, I understand what you're talking about. What is this bro doing?
Okay. All right. So, Ryan and Dusty, they are now, they realize they are not in last place. Okay. They feel good. And Dusty has this really great moment where he gets to talk about the passing of his dad and what that means and how his dad is looking down at them. And it was, you know, a really wonderful moment for Ryan and Dusty.
Yeah, I love this. You know, there was always the question that Phil asked of how's the pandemic affected your life? And, you know, we saw some stuff on screen. We didn't see some other stuff on screen, like how Akbar and Sherry were affected. But Dusty has went through so many life changes. You know, he moved. He had a son and then his father died. And I don't know, you know, if it was from COVID complications or what have you. But what really broke my heart was him revealing that his dad never got to see his grandson, which is just like, man, absolutely terrible. Imagining that small window in which it happened and it never coming to be is just absolutely devastating. And I do feel for him there. And I think it is very sweet that like he essentially tries to talk to his dad every leg to ask for strength, and he gets it here. He does have some interesting advice for his son. Dusty does. Interesting use of phrasing, I will say.
Yes. Is it about that to have a friend like Ryan?
Stick through this stuff and have a down-ass buddy you can race around the world with.
Yeah. That. I wanted to ask you two about this because...
And have you a down-ass buddy.
Yeah. I just want to say that the two of you are some of my best down ass buddies, and it's great to get to podcast with two down ass buddies like you.
Yeah, you're the down assiest, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're so far south. You're basically you're touching the penguins at that point. That's how far down your ass is. Yeah. Weird phrase. I love the sentiment. Down ass buddy is something I really got to mull over for at least a week at this point. What that means?
Have you a down ass buddy?
Yeah. I want to shout out all my down ass buddies that are out there listening to our Amazing Race coverage because
can that be the name of a patron tier for the RHAP patron, the down ass buddies?
No, I'm trying to be sincere here because frankly, please. There's a lot of up ass buddies that are out there, and you know I'm over it. It's me and the down ass buddies.
I'll take a couple of sideways ass buddies.
Yeah.
But very few up ass buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me like South by Southwest at best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, does Lululala, did we not know how to read a compass anymore? First thermometers, now compasses. No one even knows where their ass is pointing.
Okay.
It's true.
All right. So, I mean, Ryan and Dusty are feeling it at this point. They are, again, we talked about all the different animals that Dusty is channeling. I believe this is when they get to the kayaks. This is what he yells.
Gobble, gobble, we about to eat, baby!
What? No, usually you eat the turkey. The turkey
was
doesn't
Thanksgiving?
Eat you.
Do you think that maybe was this episode filmed on Thanksgiving?
It could have been.
We about to eat.
It was late fall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they were still filming that late in the year.
Yeah.
I'm seriously answering your very facetious question, Rob.
No, but I'm wondering. Maybe
I believe you do use turkey feathers to stuff a down comforter for your down ass buddies.
Down-ass
so maybe
buddy.
that's where the connection comes through.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing cozier than a down ass comforter.
Mm-hmm. Does it have donkey fur also? Yeah.
And then when you squeeze it, it goes milky, milky.
Time to make some cheese. Yeah.
Time to make some cheese.
Gobble, gobble. Just a tomcat.
Whole barnyard.
Yeah, the Dusty
Just
doll.
Just swinging
is,
monkeys. Yeah.
The Dusty doll, I think it needs a recall.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a lot of weird phrases coming
Maybe
out
instead
of
the
like,
kayak, it should have been Dusty's Ark at this point.
All right, two of every animal. We need those monkeys. Give me gobble, gobble. Bring the cows. Come on, you milky, milky cows.
Don't forget the mule. Yeah.
Don't forget that mule.
Yeah. All right. So Ryan and Dusty, they're doing great. All right. So our teams are starting to check in, okay? Raquel and Kayla, They're team number two. Well done.
Good on them.
Yeah, good
on them. It's their highest placement so far. They had a big bounce back. Now, part of it is because they sort of chose the right detour drafting off of, Kim and Penn, and then sort of helped, when Lulu tells them to grab the clue, that certainly helps. But like at the same time, there have been many teams that have won that have benefited from their relationships with other teams. And it appears that if Raquel and Kayla want to play that game, I do not begrudge them whatsoever. If they want to make some down ass buddies with the rest of the teams, they can certainly benefit from that, especially when there are big glaring threats around them.
Okay. So, all right, Ryan and Dusty, they make it to the mat. Team number three, and boy, are they pumped up, and they're ready. They are so excited.
And is that another team in the back?
They're more excited about getting third place than I have seen them get about first place on any previous leg.
Yeah.
This is the meme of the guy shaking up champagne and celebrating, and then it's a reveal that he's in third place on the podium. Like, to a T, yeah. That's what this is.
They were so excited. They were just going nuts. Again, here's what Dusty had to say.
We got to some physical stuff. And we knew we was about to eat some lunch.
Yeah, we got to some physical stuff and we were about to eat some lunch, Jess.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
Yeah, it was a turkey with a side of bird eggs.
What was the physical stuff? Was the kayak the physical stuff? And eating lunch is good?
Well, I think it was the pushing the car was the physical stuff, which nobody else had to do. That was like a speed bump.
Listening to that back, I think he's saying that like we got to you let us kayak and we got to like take our shirts off and we're going crazy. But it was like making the milky time to make some cheese was where we had the difficulty.
Yeah, I think that's eating, fair.
Like we didn't get like I thought like the phrase is like, oh, we had like our lunch handed to us.
No. I thought it's like, oh, eat it. Like, oh, we ate today.
We ate. Yeah.
We got to some physical stuff and we knew we was about to eat some lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
like us watching this episode, like, oh, there's a lot of good. We're going to eat some lunch tomorrow.
And there's some lunch coming up for Ryan and Dusty next leg. We'll talk about that.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But they are so pumped up. They actually are now shirtless and they are basically just basking in this. And we get some other teams observing just this moment for Ryan and Dusty.
This is our best performance we had. It ain't a one, but it's the best performance we've had.
I'm happy about this.
Whoa! Is that right? Explain that to me.
I mean, it's adversity, right? That's what life's all about. That's what the race is about.
And
we pushed through it. We showed that we were capable of overcoming some obstacles. We feel pretty good with it, you know? And
I love this guy, man. We ain't done. We ain't done, guys.
No, you're not.
Just how about that music cue?
That was jarring.
Yeah, I don't know why
and a
they
little
played.
Upsetting.
I don't know why they played "You're Never Gonna Get It," like the backing track to that song. And that was like, I like the record scratch, right? As like they're having this big triumphant hero moment of like, we did it, we won the Super Bowl. And then, you know, Raquel and Kayla burst the bubble of being like, they're just showing up with their shirts off. I don't know why we followed up with Waka Waka guitar, but
because
okay.
Their shirts were off.
Yeah.
Mike.
But we didn't see
that. That was the one part of it I understood.
It's like sexy time.
I suppose so, but like I don't need my shirtless men braying gutturally like a mule to the winds. I want something a bit more soft and sensual.
Maybe some people at home are like, all right, time to eat some lunch.
No,
yeah, I'm not going to shame that.
Yeah.
I want something silky, silky.
Dear Lord. I like the record scratch also felt very on brand if we're going with the early 2000s theme of the rest of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I got to this point. Is that what you know? That's the pit stop greeter. Raxon on the man stay there like, yep, that's me, Jurgen. You're probably wondering how I got here. I was asked to go to Corsica on the Amazing Race.
Yeah, let's rewind it a bit. Here's me and the rest of the litter.
Me, my monkey, my tomcat.
Ryan. Yeah.
I was a dog, and then I got turned into a person. Then I got asked to make some milky, milky cheese.
And I was also a monkey and a turkey.
He was the best down-ass buddy a dog could ever hope for.
Oh, and all I wanted was to eat some lunch.
Lunch, that's right. Yeah, the thing about shirts, it never did feel quite right.
Yeah. When you're a dog, you don't have to wear a shirt unless it's really cold out.
All right, Arun and Natalia, they're team number five.
Holy mackerel!
I'm surprised Dusty didn't say that.
Mackerel is a fish, yeah.
I mean, Dusty doesn't have a monopoly on animal references. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just love, Arun yelling holy mackerel as he comes in is so Arun. I love it. Like, so dorky, beloved dad.
Yeah, that's the dad character we need on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Caltoni!
Y'all got to stop making Caltoni happen. It's not going to happen.
A one-way race, and that is full tilt. Holy mackerel. Okay.
When you're a construction worker, sometimes your tools get stolen. I made a spy shack.
We're ready to run the challenge now, Phil. All right. Sorry, Jess.
You're not sorry.
Can someone please make a Photoshop mock-up of Caltoni, like when they merged all 20 Survivor winners into one person?
Okay. All right. So, Akbar and Sherry. Unfortunately, all the other teams are gone. It seems like that there was like a little bit of a gap between the first five teams being at the mat and when Akbar and Sherry finally get there. Just if you had to guess, how long of a time do you think it took for Akbar and Sherry to check in?
I think when you ask them, they're going to say it was like 15 minutes at most.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody says it's 15 minutes at most.
Yeah.
In this case, I think it was pretty tight for everybody. Like, everybody was pretty close together the entire time. So I would say it was not a terribly long time. Like, this was not one of those things where you could tell by the changing angle of the sun that it was much, much later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the greeter didn't have to go home.
Nope. Greeter's still there.
Mm-hmm.
I did like, because they occasionally see this on The Amazing Race, right? When it's a struggle between the last two teams and they erroneously build up like how tense it is by showing, oh, who's that running up to the mat? They did this here, right? Where Phil's like, and let's welcome in another team. And like they held on that for a while and didn't show who it was going to be before they revealed Lulu and Lala. So I like sort of a new twist on an old favorite for Amazing Race editors.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Lulu and Lala, I don't know if I mentioned that they checked in. Were they four or five?
They were five.
They were five. Okay, even behind Arun and Natalia. So they're all going to be part of the second departure time. The first departure time is just going to be the Kim and Penn and Raquel and Kayla. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Only two departure times for next week's episode when we get there. So finally, we have our Akbar and Sherry. They're the last team to arrive, and they have been eliminated from the race.
I mean, are we surprised? Is the unfortunate thing that we have to
ask. I think it's a little bit of an upset that they go out before Arun and Natalia.
That is true, but I think what really helped Arun and Natalia was there was no self-driving this leg. So I think we really now have a great representation, right? If there is no self-driving, Arun and Natalia do okay at the tasks. I did enjoy that last week the drama came from more about the transportation than the tasks. And this week, by proxy, the drama came more from the tasks than the transportation. Ideally, in the Amazing Race, you want both, but I'm glad we got to sort of see both extremes over the past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jess, can you believe we're down to five teams?
Yeah, the season is going by very fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, even like losing four teams at the beginning of, at the beginning of the blip, I feel like it's still too fast.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild because, I mean, I think we still have like a little bit of a ways to go on the season, right?
Yeah, we got about a month left, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're only going to eliminate two more teams in the next, I think, 4 weeks. And it's going to be a double episode, I think, to finish things off if we're programming the calendar correctly. So,
and what's the finale date, do you know?
So people are assuming it is May 2nd because Survivor premieres on the 9th. Yeah, March 2nd. not yesterday. No. Because on March 9th, Survivor premieres with a 2-hour episode. I would assume that we're not following it up with like a 1-hour Amazing Race episode. Celebrity Big Brother will be over by that point. So I think people are assuming that's the case. In which case,
and
I would imagine.
When is Beyond the Edge?
March 16th
okay.
at 9 p.m. March is going to be very busy, in like a lion, certainly. But I'm sure Dusty would love that catchphrase. I'm sure that in that case, then there has to be four teams going into the penultimate leg, right? And the Kim ultimate leg.
Yeah, Kim will have to keep me to it.
That like, and that's the case, then they only eliminate one more team in the next 3 weeks? That seems so unlikely.
But just didn't Mike Bloom tell us that there would be no non-elimination legs on the Amazing Race this season?
Mike is just shocked that there are no, that there are non-elimination legs. I mean, if I had to guess, I would say next week we are having a non-elimination leg. Then we will be down. We'll go down to four in the week after that, and then we'll have another non-elimination leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe, Mike, do you think that did Bertram say to you, like, hey, if you do not like the Amazing Race non-elimination legs, you won't eat your lunch this season?
Yeah, and I think I misinterpreted what that meant,
yeah,
right? It's
double negative.
Okay, this is positive.
Yeah.
No, so I'm expecting next week, maybe it's that thing where, so the actual thing that I was told was that they wouldn't put more non-eliminations in to make up for the lack of teams that came back after the blip, that they found like quote unquote new creative ways. I have no idea what that means. I still think we're going to get a mega leg. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like, you know, next week is in France. We have a non-elimination there. And then we have like a big 2-leg thing in Greece. And then there's an elimination there that is like one big mega leg. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, I'm a bit now flummoxed the further we go in here. But I think Jess's schedule makes sense. If we do next week non-elimination, then we eliminate one more team to bring it down to four, another non-elimination, and then I think that should time out just about to the final two episodes airing on the 2nd.
You know what? Look, in a perfect world, yeah, we have eliminations on The Amazing Race. But you know what? If even without that, all these teams are fun. This has been a fun season to watch. We're having a good time.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Elimination, schmim elimination.
Just let these people like have a mega finale. Like have all five teams in the finale. I don't care. They have eight people in Survivor now.
That's a great detour name, Rob. Elimination or schmilimination.
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of smacks of Myrna or Shmirna.
Yeah. I really liked this episode in particular. Like I think the task allowed for it to really allow for a lot of lead changes, which I mean, look, last episode was fun, but we barely had any of that. So I'm happy that because of the lack of self-driving, this allowed us for more place swapping, which allowed for more excitement. But I really like these teams in general. You know, I do feel like, look, the dynamic for Akbar and Sherry works for them. No judgment whatsoever. I do think they were a bit of like a negative vortex going on with the season. And not to say I don't want the season to like be without that. But, you know, they were certainly stressors on the race that provided for them. So, you know, if they're gone from that, then there still is drama involved with all these other teams, as was provided in this episode, without necessarily needing to watch these two bicker back and forth. I think they served their purpose over the course of their time on the season.
Yeah, it was the one team that had like intra-team conflict as opposed to inter-team conflict.
Yeah, which we certainly enjoy, again, when it doesn't get toxic. And I don't think it got toxic. It just, for me, started to get a little old, especially when they came back and it was very much revealed that no, that tiger does not change its stripes so well. You know, that tomcat is still eating eggs. That there was still, it was certainly entertaining to a certain extent because, again, that's the thing about The Amazing Race is that these are two people with a pre-existing relationship. And so there's going to come with a lot of baggage involved, both on their backs and in the way that they treat each other. And so I certainly enjoyed it because of how different it was, like you said, Rob, from the other teams. But I've had my fill. I've eaten my lunch. I personally am okay with that. And especially as they were not necessarily one of the competitive teams compared to, you know, I would say the top three finishers of this leg, for instance, I'm fine losing them at this point.
Okay. All right. Next week, Jess, the race, do we continue in Corsica or do we hit another spot?
It looks like we're still in Corsica.
Okay. All right. Now, the promo for next week's episode.
Oh, we have to talk about this.
Seems to be focused on something that does not look like when Dusty wanted to eat his lunch. He'll have his chance next week.
Because... He wished on the monkey's paw in that situation.
Boy, I do any, like a
couple of monkeys like us.
A couple of monkeys like us. We wish on paws and we're going to eat our lunch pretty soon. And you know how I feel about cheese. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, milky, milky or maggoty, maggoty. It's time to eat some cheese.
Yes. Again, the show tells us Amazing Race. We are going to be like the number one thing for us when we come back in this pandemic is it's all about we are going to be as safe as possible. And also this week's task, eat maggot cheese.
Yeah, one of the most notorious vectors of foodborne illness. We're going to eat this maggot cheese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, listen, we did say safe against COVID, not against salmonella. That's on you, racers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I read about it. Apparently, it doesn't taste that bad. It's just like the psychological getting over it.
Yeah.
But it is hard to watch. Like, even in the previews, I'm going to have a hard time with this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So more on that next week.
And you know, this is coming from a person that loves to eat haggis. Like, maggot cheese is kind of a bridge too far for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Haggis, not magus.
Yeah, haggis, not magus. That's the detour option I'm choosing.
Haggis or maggots. But I don't know. Is haggis the one that's like deceptively complicated that in that regard? Do they really mule this one on them?
Mm-hmm.
It's a real mule situation.
Okay. All right. Anything else from this week on The Amazing Race?
I mean, I saw the maggots and then my mind went blank.
Yeah.
No, I think it was a good time with our down ass buddies this week, both on mic and on the show. I've been really enjoying, especially Amazing Race 33 2.0. Again, I think between the interesting variety of tasks, between some of the drama, again, like this was the most climactic episode of the season so far. So I'm very excited to see where it goes, maybe past the maggot cheese, but especially if there's this storyline, like we said last week, if the prevailing storyline of season 33 is like, will Ryan and Dusty win or will someone else win? This was a very big step in a certain direction for the team. And we'll see if they continue to spiral there on out now that they sort of had the first shot into their armor. Or was it just like we had one bad leg, but now we're going to keep crushing it?
Well, Jess, the preview for next week also features and Ryan and Dusty take on the Mediterranean and their boat sinks.
This is going to be one of those things where, like, every time Ryan and Dusty don't do something perfectly, they're going to be like, oh, no, is this it for Ryan and Dusty? Or 10 seconds later, are they going to get out of the boat and get in a different boat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't wait for the preview for next week after where it's like, and Ryan's shoelace becomes untied. Will this have derailed their race?
Now, Dusty took 5 extra seconds thinking of an animal metaphor. He got distracted by a tennis ball.
Yeah. Well, I do think that we saw, and had this been a roadblock and not a detour, I wonder if this was sort of like the recipe for, you know, how they could lose. Basically, just it's like a task that is like a little bit more of like something that requires finesse, like a little bit more of like some patience and willpower. It seems like that if they are going to falter, that if you have or the specific roadblock here, I mean, that could be it.
I've been saying that all season.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that's going to take them down if something does.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if Dusty gets put on if there is a final memory challenge, right? And he just absolutely panics, especially the fact that they probably won't go with the animals that they've encountered on the race. That would be his 5-hole.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
sure. But I, you know, the other thing I think might happen in the final leg is like one of the teams wins the foot race to the thrill task and then is in front the whole time because that's the final leg. That's what we do.
That's what happens. Okay. All right. So we'll be back next week to talk about more Amazing Race. Make sure you're subscribed to Robert's podcast to make sure you don't miss any of that coming up next week, wherever you get your podcast. Jess, anything coming up for you this week?
We are swiftly approaching the spring TV season, and with it, I will have a lot more going on. Mm-hmm. We got Walking Dead coming back. We have Killing Eve coming back. We have Star Trek coming back. Mike Bloom and I are getting together a little bit later to talk about Star Trek Discovery. We're at the mid-season point. It's going to come back very soon. And then in a couple of weeks, we got Star Trek Picard, which I'm very excited about. Star Trek Discovery, I'm going to come in a little hot on that. So,
ooh, okay.
Little I have Lulu some, and Lala.
Yes.
I have some big feelings.
When is Picard back? Yeah.
March 3rd.
Yeah.
The day after the race finishes.
Yeah. Can I come in and do a guest spot on Picard?
Absolutely.
We're going to be a little more, to spoil the podcast, we're going to be a little more sparse with the Star Trek coverage, mm-hmm. just because of what Jess and I are up to in our various lives, where I think we're just going to do premiere, mid-season check-in, and then finale. With Star Trek Discovery, it really helped in that they took a hiatus of about like a month to finish off Star Trek Prodigy for the first time since season one. So like that gave us ample opportunity to talk about it. But yeah, we'd absolutely love to have you.
Okay. All right. Looking forward to that. Mike, what's coming up for you? All right. I think if you're a Mike Bloom fan, get ready, because I think you're going to be eating your lunch this week.
That only happens on days that end in Y.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maggot cheese, bird eggs, all the fixins, turkey, gobble, gobble.
Yeah.
I'll plug something that's a couple weeks back, but actually Star Trek related that I completely forgot to plug. I got stuck with LeVar Burton, which was
when you
really
say,
cool.
I got stuck with LeVar Burton.
To talk to LeVar Burton.
Oh, yes.
Never feel stuck to LeVar Burton. I got to talk with him. He directed an episode of NCIS Hawaii that aired a couple of weeks back. And so I got to just talk with LeVar Burton, which is incredible. Like, I'm still nerding out about it. He called me a poet at one point, which like now I can die happy and engrave that on my tombstone, please. But I thought that would appeal to both of you, is like, I actually had this opportunity to talk with LeVar Burton. I felt like Troy in that one episode of Community.
That would have been me.
I thought you meant like Deanna. what was the context that LeVar Burton said you were a poet?
I think I had just like spoken about, where his life had gotten to that point. And he responded by saying verbatim, a quote I will always remember, Mike Bloom, you're a poet. He said my full name.
Wow.
So he knew I'd remember it.
Yeah.
It's one of those pinch me moments. Like, I still am in utter disbelief. So if you want to check that out, it's an old episode of NCIS Hawaii, but that was incredible fun. Let's talk about the more prescient material here. So Celebrity Big Brother just premiered yesterday, second, not March 2nd. I'll be doing exit press for that. So coming up this Saturday, because the first eviction is happening on Friday, I'll be talking with the celebrities. Basically, Saturdays and Tuesdays are when I'm doing the interviews. Of course, speaking of interviews, I'll be speaking with Akbar and Sherry. Actually, about like 20 minutes after we get off the line here, I'll be talking with them. That article should be up by the time you're listening to this podcast. Again, all at parade.com. And then over on the scripted side of things, we're finishing things up with The Witcher, The Book of Boba Fett, if I can even call it that show anymore. I called it Oops All Cameos this week, a wild episode of television that was really fun to discuss with our Philly. So that's happening. As was mentioned before, Josh Winkler and I have restarted the old Jeep, the old Dharma van that is down the hatch. We're doing, yes, Jess, that was my wife's reaction as well upon hearing about the project. We're doing something where we did like, we rated each episode along the way. So did our listeners. Someone compiled them behind the scenes to make like our own list of the rankings of Lost. And basically we go through it a few episodes every week to try to guess what's the next episode coming up using a blind guess, as well as listening back to our own podcast to try to figure out, do we remember when we said this? So it is very stupid. We have a very fun episode that is coming out on Friday that talks about the bottom three Lost episodes as ranked. And so all that is happening, in addition to some other stuff. I guessed it on BoJack Horsepod this past week as well.
Wow.
And if you're into CBS reality, as was mentioned before, The Book of BoJack, listen, he might as well have showed up there with a helmet and everything. He's a Rancor, essentially. There is a show called Beyond the Edge. Rob, you and I actually talked about this when I guessed it on the Survivor Feedback show. This, like, people thought it was Celebrity Survivor at first. It really isn't. It's more like Alone, I would say, in terms of comparisons. There's no eliminations. You can opt out if you want to at any time. If you want to check out that cast, which features an interesting cavalcade of people, I have that cast up at parade.com. But yeah, the slate of reality TV for CBS is growing. There's a chance that this show might have knocked Toughest Nails out of its slot for the spring.
All right. Now it's on.
Now
I'm mad. Okay.
That's an up ass right. buddy if ever I heard one.
Bitch!
Yep.
Oh, no. Rob walked off. He was staged to walk out.
Oh, he's throwing things.
Okay.
It's like the opposite of Dusty.
All right.
Really?
Cleansing breath,
Rob. Now I'm hot. I was excited, and now I'm a little...
it's airing Wednesdays at 9 p.m. after Survivor, so like I feel like that's the slot it's taking, unfortunately.
How dare they?
All
How
right.
very dare they?
All right, well, listen. Come on. All right, listen. There's lots of Wednesdays in 2022. Let's not get crazy. All right, come on.
All right. Air hugs, everyone.
Air hug. Okay. All right. We have a lot going on. Celebrity Big Brother. I think basically every single night we'll be live after the episode for that. Still trying to fit in the coverage of Joe Millionaire as well, in addition to coverage of 90 Day Fiance here on Robus Podcast, in addition to everything else that we have going on. Of course, if you miss any of it, you can catch it in our new weekly wrap up where we capture the best moments and discussions from the week on Robus Podcast. Look for that on Saturdays in the Robus Podcast. A main feed, and of course it's a great time to jump in as a patron of Rob's Podcast. In addition to supporting all of the content that we're doing, you can check out our slop coverage here during Big Brother Celebrity. Plus, we make it so easy for you to watch Australian Survivor with us and follow all of the amazing coverage from Shannon Gus in our Survivor Global feed. Until next time, everybody, to all the down ass buddies out there, take care, have a good one, bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.